Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelorette recap podcast, hosted by a male and a racial best friend duo. If you like that tagline, there's a way you can purchase items with those words in that order on it. But not going to tell you how till the end of the episode.
That's marketing.
Merch madness. There's a merch announcement coming at the end of this episode.
Cow.
So stick around.
Wow.
Thanksgiving's almost here. Gift-giving season?
You need to get your gifts early this year, Rim. That's what I've been hearing.
Well, if the supply chain, if they'd get the boats out of the docks and all that kind of thing.
Obama, you know.
I'm tired of it, frankly. To be honest, I don't even know if these products are affected by that at all. I have no clue. Hey,
I clearly have no idea what's going on in the world.
We're not logistics guys. This is a I say this, I think, at the end of every episode, or maybe I think this is a great season. I have a good time watching every episode.
That did you always say we get it, Rim? You like the season?
No, you know what, though? I do cut it out. A lot of times I cut it out.
Oh, do you?
I really do think it's a great season.
Once an episode, you say to me genuinely, hey,
I'm serious.
This is a good season. I say, yeah, you already told me that. I get it. I like the season, too. It's a good season. Michelle's great. What do you expect? Michelle's who we wanted.
Well, the lead is probably 20% of the quality of the
good guys
season.
Too.
But there's a lot of things about this that I like.
That helps, though. The lead helps. Our favorite
season
ever.
Yeah, it's 20%. It's 20% of it. That's a lot.
No,
and also
it's
not
more than
all
20.
Of it.
It's more than 20. Like, Ben Higgins was one of our favorite seasons, and that was mostly because of him.
Well, it was the first one I watched, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to Minneapolis. Quick little thing. Martin said Chris S. and Nate was walking around. Martin said Chris S. said Nate was walking around saying he had it in the bag. I was never under the impression that Nate said, I have it in the bag. Were you?
Absolutely not.
Appears to be a game of telephone.
The thing about Martin is, I don't trust that guy. Okay? I don't trust him.
I'm just wondering if I misunderstood the controversy in the first place. No. I don't think Chris ever said Nate.
This
was
all stemmed
telling
from
people
Nate.
He had it in the back. He was merely behaving that way.
He was definitely. Well, Nate, when he walks in a room, cool guy Nate, he acts like he owns the place no matter what. So I'm sure he's giving off a sense of I've got this in the bag. That's just something that Nate.
I think rightfully so.
I think that's just something you feel when Nate walks in a room, but. I think it stems from him saying he's for sure getting a one-on-one, or whatever he said about the one-on-one, that I'm not tripping about this one-on-one because I know I'm going to get one later, which was true.
I still does not, that doesn't rise to the level
that
of
doesn't
it's
reach.
In the bag.
He's got the whole thing in the bag, the whole season.
He's getting
I don't
a
think
one-on-one.
He ever said anything like that. Of course he's getting the one-on-one. He's one of the top guys.
Anyway, they're in Minneapolis. This is the first real travel since Peter's season, if you can believe that.
Is that true?
Yeah, I went.
Holy cow.
Because after Peter's season was Claire's season, and that was delayed.
And that was in the bubble.
We've been in bubbles since.
Wow. Did it go Peter, then Claire? Is that what you're telling me?
That didn't sound right when I said it, so I'm looking it up now.
It went Peter, then Hannah.
No, Peter was on Hannah's season.
Oh, and then Hannah showed. Hannah's, that's.
Yeah, that you people, you get confused because Hannah was on that season so
Hannah
much.
Hannah was but. On that season. Yeah, that's a, those two are part of my mailbag, by the way. Headline of the week. Headline of the week. Stay tuned. Okay, so Peter.
First travel destination anywhere since Peter Weber's season. Which
so
was
Peter
ages
had his
ago.
Season where it was Hannah and Maddie as the final two, and Peter's mom did the whole thing at the finale. We're just going to do a quick history lesson.
Yeah, I don't know why you're doing this.
Because I can't remember. Yes. I'm just trying to remember why there wasn't someone from his season as the Bachelorette, why it went to Claire. I can't remember what transpired here.
I don't remember either. I don't remember either.
How'd we get to Claire? And then how'd we get to Annie? Anyways, we're here.
Michelle and her parents. Like I said, these people are probably too normal to move the needle. There's no Barb here, speaking of Peter's season. There's no Tayshia's dad. They're just kind of two regular people, and then this was a pleasant conversation that did not give me much to chew on.
Well, I'm going to need you to start talking about some stuff about the guys, if you want. If like, we already had this conversation where they give her advice. They give a generic advice about what to do.
This on the same day before she met anybody. No.
Yeah, that's this was before you meet anybody advice. I need you to go into some names and some power rankings with the family really want to get me interested.
We're here too early. There's 11 people
left.
There's
too many people.
There's 11 guys left, she says. More than one who she thinks would choose her every day. And it's Joe.
So. And Rick.
And Rick?
Yeah, Rick.
When did you make Rick one here?
You said they would choose her.
And Rick would.
Rick?
My joke was Joe's going to be the winner. That was my...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were just saying guys that are falling for her, and Rick's one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so is Rodney, but irrelevant.
I know it's irrelevant. I'm just telling you.
The group with Michelle in Minneapolis. Nate's got to step it up. Clayton feels like he's coming out of his shell. Was this the moment Clayton turned the corner and asserted himself as a big dog?
It'll be a big ass shell, I'll tell you. And, that
in retrospect, no,
they made him that big.
Still waiting on Clayton. Do you have any? Wasn't much Clayton in this episode. Again, are you?
He got a little bit later. We can talk about him later.
First date is a one-on-one that starts immediately. It's Joe.
Of course it's Joe.
The Minneapolis. He's known in Minneapolis. They probably were. They had to take tinted windows. The windows had to be tinted in the car, if you know what I mean.
I'm so surprised it's Joe. This is incredible. I cannot believe
this. Who saw this coming?
Who could have seen this coming?
As of this moment, the other guys are simply on a vacation. That's all. They're not participants in this anymore. Imagine flying from Miami to Palm Springs and then Minneapolis only to see two people who currently reside in Minneapolis
grew up there
prance away on a date.
Two people that know each other before the season starts.
You're just like, this sucks.
This was decided weeks ago that this was going
to
happen.
I have other things I could be doing. I don't want to watch YouTube.
This sucks. That's legitimately the only thing you can think if you're one of these guys. This sucks.
So Joe and Michelle head out on that, I don't know, their sixth or seventh date in Minneapolis, would you say? Just tongue in cheek. It had to be Joe, like you said.
Of course it was Joe. I said it last week.
Olu hopes he doesn't come back, which I wouldn't put all your eggs or any eggs in that basket.
Swolu, don't be crazy here.
Then Joe and Michelle hop in a car and kiss while holding hands.
Tinted windows again.
With tinted windows. Was it the first time Joe and Michelle have kissed while holding hands in the front seat of a car? It did look like it to me, but who am I to speculate?
We're not going to pass any judgment here. We're just calling it like we see it, okay?
They looked really comfortable.
This isn't facts. We're not spitting facts, but...
This is nonsense.
If you're asking me, have these two ever kissed in the front seat of a car... That Michelle's driving.
That car.
I would answer you. I would answer. No, they've done that plenty.
It just looked
in high school
comfortable.
And then in college.
It looked really comfortable.
Then when they meet back up, you know, on Thanksgiving, because they go to different schools, but they meet back up.
These two have met at the bar on Thanksgiving
Eve. Those two meet up when they come back in town for Thanksgiving. They've been sitting in the car like that, and they've been kissing, okay? That's just my guess. That's just my guess. Again, I can't
It's not
confirm.
Well, haven't even heard that from anyone.
No,
this
that's
is just
my guess.
Concocted. We're joking. Anyway, the Joe 101 date. They had some quick back-of-the-house cuts here, and the guys were talking about how excited they were to be in Michelle's hometown while she's on a date with, you know, Mr. Minneapolis. I wouldn't be that excited. I'd be concerned. This is bad. This
Y'all
is very,
be
very
sounding
bad.
Sounding the alarms.
We gotta come up with a scheme to get out of this, fellas. Oh, they throw out the first pitch at a Twins game.
What's going on here, Rim?
What do you mean?
Why was the stadium so empty?
Well, most, little known fact, most first pitches, there's like 30 of them every game. So this was a half hour before the game started.
Oh, okay. This wasn't the first pitch. That's what I was wondering. What was going on here? There was, no. I wouldn't, there was
I don't think it was
500 people
pitch.
In this crowd. There was nobody there.
Yeah, there wasn't.
There's nobody in the crowd. I didn't know what was going on. If this was a fake game they were trying to get by us or what?
It might have been.
I don't know what was going on.
I'll tell you what was fake was the graphics they put on the big screen. Those were done in post.
Yeah.
And the crowd noise that was
on
the screen was piped in. The announcer was definitely...
The announcer was not live.
He said that into the Bachelor mic, not the Twins mic.
Yes.
Next thing you know, they're at our old high school, just classic Bachelor stuff. They didn't show much from these first two portions, AB, and I think it's because Joe isn't really bringing it on
this boring
yeah. the charisma front. Oh, this is your locker?
The pretty conversation cool. is really not right.
They didn't show that much.
with Joe.
A first pitch in a baseball game would be like a show.
Yeah, that seemed like huge.
Thing, and it was glossed over. But now it's time to go to the gym.
Remember when I was talking about how Rodney got like a fair shake on his date because he did so much stuff? Now I'm seeing her go to a first pitch and then go to the... They're driving all around the city. They were together for 8 more hours than Rodney got.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
You were... I think
dead
it's fair
wrong.
To say.
Dead wrong.
Well, in fairness, I had totally forgotten they were leaving.
Yeah, I had no idea.
The bubble.
Yeah.
If we'd have known that, we'd have... probably been like, dang, Rodney got the big time chef in the kitchen at the hotel.
Yeah.
They're in the gym. Michelle says, I feel like Joe would have been my crush in high school. Do you have any comment on that?
Editor's note, Joe was your crush in high school. Just a little slip of tongue there. You meant he was.
Little love and basketball in the gym. Some kind of, oh, can you steal it from me?
They're just messing around.
You know.
They're having fun. Nothing to see here. Just basketball. We knew this would be the case with these two on a date. They'd play basketball at her high school gym.
Natalie wants to know who would win the game of one-on-one, Michelle or Madison Pruitt? I feel like
Michelle
Madison
would
didn't
beat
play in
the
college.
Fucking breaks off Madison, okay? Madison played in high school, okay?
A lot of people did.
A lot of people did. I played in high school. Michelle
yeah,
played
you
in college.
You were the
D1.
Man,
I was the man, though. I was a late bloomer. I really
don't get
hit
me
my
going.
Stride
don't
in college. In college, I hit my stride. I wasn't playing in college, but I should have. Could have.
I'll vouch for it.
Could have. Yeah. But Madison played in high school. Michelle played in college as a D1 athlete
perhaps,
for 4 years.
Perhaps okay? Madison turned down opportunities to play at...
No.
It's possible.
At a D2 or something, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Sure. The difference between D2 and D1
is pretty big.
It's gigantic, I'd say.
All right. Major
especially
point.
In basketball.
You made your point.
It'd be 11-0 if we're talking one-on-one here.
If there was a high school game between their high school teams, Madison might guard Michelle because she was
probably the best player in her team.
To do
I don't
it.
Know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'd get 40 dropped on her head.
She'd get 40.
She'd get a quick 40.
The business.
Yeah.
On the bleachers, Joe says the best date he's ever been on. A revealing moment here when Michelle says, Joe, you remind me a lot of my dad and my brother because they're both reserved. And they kind of balance her out because her and her mom can be, I think the quote was spitfire
hey,
sometimes.
Hey, Rim,
Uh-oh.
What kind of guy do you think Michelle wants and has stated multiple times? Like, who would she, if you were to say there was another person on this world that she would make a copy of to marry, and she said this, who in her life would you say that would be?
I think Joe, but I'm not 100% convinced yet.
A person she knows in her life.
Well, if the to the camera stuff is to be believed, which I don't think it is, every lead wants to emulate their parents' wildly successful marriage. Yes. And if you're a bachelorette, you're looking for your dad, and if you're a bachelor, you're looking for your mom.
So it's her dad.
It's her dad based on what we've seen.
And what she said. She said she has said on multiple occasions.
Nate
she
is tall though. He is tall.
That's important to know. This was wildly. This was damn near a spoiler to me when she said this.
It really was.
She has said on multiple occasions she wants to meet someone like her dad to marry. That's what I want in my husband. And now she's saying Joe is
you're just
reminds
like my dad.
Me of her dad.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut production down, bring in another bachelorette. This is, we've said it multiple times.
I've seen this before.
Ever since Claire and Tayshia's season, good on you for finding your person, but let's just bring on the next person.
You broke the show.
Let's just bring on the next person. It's not quite that much, but this was telling to me.
It wasn't nothing. It wasn't
nothing.
Stay
tuned for my power rankings.
How many blanks are there going to be? Between one and nine. Joe says my dad also reserved. Only seen him cry once. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, trust, bringing down walls. He's not that comfortable. Neither is she. Tearing the walls down, though. More generic talk. Yeah. But I'm not sure it matters, as you alluded to. It doesn't really, you know.
You remind me a lot of my dad and my brother, who are very reserved. You know who isn't reserved? Nate.
Yeah, Nate's flashy.
The other leader, that man is flashy.
That guy's flashy.
Now maybe, maybe all she's been saying to the cameras has been just been fluff, and maybe that's not what she's actually looking for. But if she's looking for someone like her dad,
he's holding hands with her as we speak.
Another person winning this season.
I'm not quite there yet, but I do think it's setting up for a great final few episodes of the show. We'll get to it at the end. At this point, I wrote down, if Nate isn't in his room doing dribbling drills, it might be over. We got to get some fundamentals
down. You
got to
be able to hit that right-hand layup miss earlier in the season. Or no, he shot a left-hand layup on the right side. You got to be shooting with the right hand on the right side. Oh, left hand on the left side. And you got to put that in. You got to hit the dribbles. You got to be able to do the dribbling drills.
Well, or at least.
Got to put in the work right now.
Work on,
Nate.
Like, setting picks or defense. Make yourself.
You have to be
you can't,
a viable 5-on-5 player soon.
I feel like Michelle's dad would give Nate the business on the court, and that's not, we can't have that.
Can't have it, nope.
Back at the house. Nate, Olu, and Chris think they could get a one-on-one. The reasonable guys like Rick think, all right, you know, it's time for Nate to get a one-on-one, you know.
Yeah, obviously Nate.
This has gone on too long. It's too deep in the season for a favorite to not get a solo date.
Rick said, I think Nate is in desperate need of a one-on-one. I wouldn't say it's I wouldn't say he's in desperate need. He could go a couple more weeks, easy.
If this Minneapolis trip was never on the books and we were bubble all season and Nate still hadn't gotten a one-on-one, I'd be a little more concerned.
It'd be
but
weird.
Like you said, she saved him for this.
Yeah.
And then a little more talk about the alleged in the bag comment. Date card is Casey, Rodney, Martin, Leroy, Rick, Clayton, Olu, Chris, Brandon. Nate knew it.
You just said it last week. You knew
it. Said it last week. I'm probably getting the date next week.
Been hearing rumors we're going somewhere. That probably means I'm getting the one-on-one.
It seems to
that
me like I would
things.
Be. Yeah. I feel fine about not getting it. Chris is really disappointed Nate got the one-on-one. Everything I said fell on deaf ears. Because you might have forgotten already, but Chris told Michelle that Nate was behaving as if he told her about the confidence of getting the one-on-one.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm just reminding the general audience. Yeah. It was not that big of a thing. She definitely heard you. Chris doesn't
care.
She
didn't care. She didn't care.
And also, like, Nate, she knew Nate was right. It was almost, she reacted
she didn't
like,
care at all.
How did Nate know? And really, the issue he raised was not that significant. He's acting like he has it in the bag, does not rise to the level of he doesn't like you and he has a girlfriend back home. You know, there are, it's not, a,
yeah, absolutely.
He's
agreed.
On the lower end of
agreed.
Controversy.
He feels confident in his relationship with Michelle. Is that a bad thing? I don't know what the problem is.
More or less. The nighttime portion of the one-on-one date with Joe. A rare pre-discussion warning. Usually they do post-discussion warnings, which kind of defeats the purpose. It appears they're eating candles for dinner. There were 9 candles on the table. Their glasses looked like old candle holders, handmade. Michelle asked Joe about Joe. He talks about his sport, goes right into the sports career. I think his first word was, well, basketball.
Hoops.
Cooking them.
Looking at them.
Beginning with his, he goes into his sports career, beginning, he broke his foot in the 7th grade, which set him up for more injuries on that foot down the line. I would have liked to hear a little more about, you know, like, how big of a, you know, the scholarship Coach K was calling. Maybe a triple-double story. Just go full kind of wise LeBron.
Yeah. I want to hear some old stories.
He re-injured his foot in college. A surgeon used too big of a screw, which delayed recovery, broke some other stuff. Never the same on the court.
Never the same. We wondered why he left. So he left Minnesota after a pretty good year.
Yeah, we just read the stats. We just read the page.
I saw that he had gotten injured, but then he like never played again, basically.
I didn't want to be out there because I couldn't handle it mentally, Joe said. So Joe's in a bad spot because of this. There are times where I was thinking if I even wanted to still be here. Ball was life. And my life was gone. Joe's tearing up about this, AB.
I'm sure it's hard going from when you're doing something at that level. You have likely been playing that almost your whole life and playing it through, you know, yearly.
Putting in time, hours and
just
hours and
absolute
hours.
Hours of work. And then not only it just ending, but there's a point where you aren't good and like he's not as good anymore and he can't hack it, you know, at the level that he was at anymore. So he simply can't do it. Like, there's nothing he can do about it.
And he's 22 or 23 years old. It's like, then what?
And he's 20. His body's, like, his body and his career. Joe, going into his, I think he got hurt his junior year at Minnesota. He's probably thinking, you know, I'm not an NBA player, but I'm going to have a 15-year career playing professionally overseas. You know, if you're scoring 10 points in the Big Ten, you can find a well-paying job.
There's work for you.
Like, that's going to be your career, and then you're going to retire. There won't be a point where you're not playing basketball for the next 20 years is what he's anticipating. And then he gets hurt, and he can't do any of it anymore. Yeah.
That would be a tough obstacle to face. No question
tough.
About it.
Yeah.
And it's not even injuries, too. All athletes, you get
Everyone
put so much time,
point.
It's your identity, and then even you get so much attention, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends. And it ends quietly and probably alone. You're usually not walking off the field a Super Bowl champion. Football players in particular get chewed up and spit out in like 2 or 3 years. And then what? Olympians, same thing. You're on top of the world for a few weeks and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this, although Michelle did not have the same experience, like I broke my foot and I couldn't play anymore. It did end for her too.
Plenty of comparison between these two.
No lead has been more... There's never been a lead that could respond
too.
To this. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In terms of leads being able to respond,
And that's what I liked about this story. In her response, it was not, thanks for telling me, thanks for bringing your walls down, or fake sympathy or anything like that. It was as if the cameras weren't there.
Yeah, I understand you, and this is something I experience as well, which is half of the reason why I've thought Joe is going to win this season from the beginning. I just thought the similar life experiences, like if they're, you know, unless there's no compatibility, as soon as they saw that they were compatible and, you know, they were interested in each other, I thought, okay, this is over because of their shared experience. Like none of the other people besides maybe Clayton have anything. I feel like athletes like that at that level generally gravitate towards each other for that reason, because a lot of people can't really can't talk to each other about it. Yeah.
Joe has no charisma, no flirtatious game, but he's a force here.
Absolute force.
Because of this conversation. A force in Michelle's heart, some are saying.
And we talk about Joe being boring and other people being boring.
He might not be
boring in real life.
Yeah,
he's just boring for
the show.
It doesn't mean he's not. He wouldn't be a great partner for someone. So
No. He's a boring character on the
boring
TV
on
show.
The
There's
show.
No two ways about it. Anyway. It's in the bag for Joe, I have here. I think they're actually great together. I wish there weren't cars speeding around in the background during this segment.
There's constantly cars in the background of our shots this year.
But it was a great This was one of my favorite conversations on a one-on-one date I've seen in some time. She offers him the rose. Afterwards, they go on a cool-ass Ferris wheel with a
cool
table.
Cool Ferris wheel, yeah. Very cool.
The most special, perfect, stars-aligning date I have ever been on, Michelle says.
Powerful, too. She said this was the most powerful, special, perfect, stars-aligning date I've ever been on.
Two souls that have been living side by side that didn't even know it.
They knew it.
Come on.
They knew it. They did know it. But if they didn't know it, it's irrelevant.
Come on. Rodney.
Let's be serious. Let's just be serious for a second. At this point, it's like, okay, every single other guy that got a date previous to this, so that would include
maybe
Martin.
Knocking his microphone.
I can't.
I'm so overcome.
I'm overcome with the situation here. There are people out there that probably think other people are going to win, okay? If they've had a date previous to this.
Yeah, Rick's got to feel pretty good, right?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
But they're not going to win. None of them.
I don't think so either.
She
but
just
I'm not 100%
this was the best
like
date.
Yeah.
Ever. Most powerful date she's ever had. Where they talked about all sorts of stuff.
I do take her to the camera stuff with a grain of salt.
Of course.
I take this one with a...
I'm just saying, if you thought anyone else that already had a date was in contention, please adjust your opinion.
That's fair, because that doesn't include Nate.
That doesn't include Nate.
Yes.
Anyone that previously had a date, so that's Martin,
is not going to win
Rick.
We were killing time.
Who all is it? I don't even know who all that is. Yeah, but that's just what it seems like. We're killing time until we get to Minnesota. That's what all those other dates were.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm with you. Group date, or daytime. Michelle, they're at the Vikings stadium. Michelle is still beaming about Joe. She's seems mildly annoyed she has to do this other thing with these other guys. 9 guys on this date. Some Vikings come out, but not the football Vikings. Some costume Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Competition stuff. I enjoyed this date. The competitions were kind of funny. They did the war cries thing. Rick, I think, nailed it. Keep an eye on Rick. I don't want the rest of our recaps to have an air of none of it matters. But
I don't know. They're tossing logs and
the logs are pretty cool. I think,
that's cool logs or whatever. We would toss out the first pitch and then hooped and then talked about something, a shared experience that none of you can even comprehend.
The logs, it seemed they were counting the logs would hit and then bounce.
Yeah, I don't know what
roll.
Was going
it
on.
It seemed like they were
there.
Counting the end, the final position of the log, which is completely, that'd be like doing the long jump and then like jogging a little bit after it and then be like, this is where I ended up. No,
you
we're
can't
gonna,
base
we're gonna
it
count
on the
where
roll.
It hits.
Yeah,
gonna count where it hits.
Can't base it on the roll. That's all luck.
Michelle wants to have fun, but it's also about the small moments. So there's a lot of kissing.
A lot of small moments.
A lot of
the
small
guys,
moment making here.
You know, when you yell at someone for something, they're gonna overcompensate the next time. So when you yell at everyone for making you not feel wanted, there's gonna be too many. There's
gonna
be an
overbearing
amount of small.
Day.
Like, okay, all of you guys, back the fuck up. I don't need all these kisses.
I do need some personal space.
Yeah, I don't need all these kisses.
What do we got here? Then they eat some smelly foods.
Yeah, they're eating some, I got it here.
Fermented herring.
Fermented herring and Viking head hash, which is cow brains, tongue, and cheek, all mixed together into a block, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was, and I didn't really want to do a ton of investigation into it.
It was just your classic Fear Factor, MTV challenge, final type situation.
Arm wrestling Chris versus Olu. How do you think that went?
Why don't you put the biggest guys against the biggest guys? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, there was too
Why
many
Why we got
mismatches.
Swolu going against Chris? Why isn't it Swolu against
well,
fucking
they have a little,
Clayton?
Well, because Olu and Chris have a little
They have a little beef.
Like Chris, but yeah. it's a minor beef.
Yeah, it's hardly a beef.
Martin gave Clayton a little run, core. But, you know, I mean
he's an absolute, what are you going to do? You going to chop a redwood tree down? I don't think so. he's going to eventually get you.
When I say a little run, I meant a second and a half before he lost.
Before he tried.
Yeah.
When you're Clayton size, you just let the other person go for a little bit. Just to let them know.
It's all about
it
optics.
It really breaks their will when you're just staring in their eyes and they can't move you an inch.
The ultimate Viking is Clayton.
Well, Rim, everything was tailor-made for him. It was a custom Clayton-sized cape and crown. Nobody else would have fit it. It would have been dragging on the ground behind most of the... If you put that cape on Brandon, there would be
it looks
6
like, it looks like the end of Big when
him.
He turns back into a kid.
Yeah. You'd have a cape dragging behind him like a little kid, okay?
Yeah.
This was a Clayton-sized... The cape was huge. The crown was gigantic. It was obviously decided before this started that Clayton was going to win.
Whether or not Clayton forms anything with Michelle, we can agree that he should have won the Top Gun Challenge. He should end the season with an undefeated record in these types of group date competitions and the best
resume. He shows
resume.
Out in group dates.
He really does.
He
gets amped up for him, as we heard does. Later. He's like, I love group date competitions.
I love fucking group dates. I would argue nobody has loved group dates more than Clayton, in fact.
Yeah, I can throw arm wrestling all day. I would love for this to be my day-to-day. I really don't want to do a one-on-one if we're not throwing tree stumps. They tee up Chris to blow up the nighttime portion, and then Brandon sneaks a little kiss at the end before the commercial break, and she makes a little joke like, oh, Brandon's straight fish.
That's the end of Brandon.
No, because he just ate the fish. That's all good. That's not his natural occurring.
I know, but you don't want to kiss someone when you're smelling like that, Brandon.
Well, it's like that Curb episode. Once you watch your partner walk into a glass door, you can't unsee that.
That's new Curb. Rip's keeping up to date on his Curb.
You think I'm not fucking watching the new? Come on. Most recent episode was pretty good. The best finale scene of the season so far. The season's not every episode of that show is great anymore. Most recent one is funny. Big stars, big cameos.
Huge
on this.
Stars.
Huge stars. And my favorite part about Curb, not my favorite part at all, there's no rhyme or reason to what stars play themselves. And what stars
which ones are just
are
randomly
characters.
There. Yeah.
Anyway, group date, nighttime. Michelle's pleased by the effort they made to create small moments. Then we get a Clayton and Michelle one-on-one time. I think the first significant chat we've seen from them to this point. This is where Clayton mentions he needed to show out. He was like, he couldn't sleep. He was so amped.
He was staring at the ceiling. He reminded me of, you remember the scene in Little Giants when the kid, right before the big game, he has his cleats on and he's got dirt and mud in his cleats and he's got those on before the big game? That's Clayton. He's got his fucking outfit on for the day.
Yeah that's, he laid his clothes out on. Like it was the day before, you know, first day of middle school.
Wearing his helmet in bed.
Maybe Clayton will peak at the right time. That's what I'm wondering here. Or maybe he doesn't at all. Who knows?
I think she's into him.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So there's time still. But I'm still waiting for my moment where I say, okay, well, that's the lead. Right now, I just think of him as a goofy, you know, powerhouse at group dates.
That's a good way to put it.
A bit character.
Yeah.
Who, if he wasn't, we didn't know he was a lead, we would love him right now because of how hard he goes on these group dates.
For sure.
And how big he is, we'd love this guy.
And I kind of, you know, I do.
I do.
The fact that he's already a lead is, the tendency is to hold him to this impossible standard.
Yeah.
That even if he was getting a ton of screen time, it still probably wouldn't be good enough because he was not chosen organically.
I'm just saying he would be our wild card. It'd be like him and Rodney are our wild card guys that we like.
I'd watch a Rodney and Clayton buddy comedy show.
Those are the two guys that we know have no chance at winning, but we love them.
Yeah.
That would be the situation.
Like hosses. I like funny hosses.
Absolutely.
He asks her if she's always been this confident and poised, or did you learn a lot? He's asking questions like, I wondered if this he'd already been
he already told, they already told he's him. The lead.
Yeah, they're like, all right, now you got to start working
on your your lead chops here. See what you can do.
Exactly. She's always been confident because her dad modeled that.
Back to her dad.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Remember about Joe. Something to note.
He says something about his parents taught him a lot. I don't know. They're important. You know, whatever. There seemed to be some kids. She looked at him kind of cute. They kiss.
Yeah, they look at each other. She looks at him.
Sometimes you want to make out with the big man. That's all it is. You want to dip your toe in the redwoods. Brandon strolls in during the makeout, which was funny.
Yes. You know what? I don't think it was during the makeout.
Yeah. You're this coming over cut. To my side now. You're starting to pay a little more attention.
I saw this one. I noticed this one. It was too obvious. This was cut. They made it seem like he was walking in on Clayton kissing. They were not kissing. This was cut.
I'm with you.
Period.
Period.
If they were kissing, he would get a jackknife powerbomb through the table from big, sexy Kevin Nash.
It is unfair that, I mean, Clayton should have a Goldberg undefeated streak. That should be the talk of the group. Like, Clayton won another group date, man. The streak.
Clayton has 5 group date roses.
Clayton should enter group dates like Goldberg. Blow smoke out of his nose. They should bring him in.
An absolute
with the cops.
Force.
The cops should escort him to the group date.
An absolute force of the group dates.
Anyway, Brandon. Little cutie pie.
Like Brandon.
I like Brandon, too. Do you think sometimes she treats him as, like...
Kid brother?
Kid brother.
Yeah, kid brother situation. I will say, is. Brandon seems to be falling hard, and I could see him making it to hometowns. I can't envision him winning, though, because I do get that kid brother vibe. He just seems like he's a little younger than her. Not at the same place.
There's something about his attitude, though, that is, like... I wonder if he almost knows that and he doesn't really care that much. He's just riding this. He can't believe how lucky he is.
This is incredible.
This
what's
attention, and he's
to me.
Riding this wave. He's like, this is so great. I'm
he
gonna
even
keep
says
rolling.
It. He says something about how, you know, I don't know if we're going to end up together at the end of this, but damn, this has been a hell of
this
a ride.
Is awesome.
This is
you're
awesome.
You're
going
to feed me treats every
on.
Time we hang out. This could not be any better.
I wrote here, the poor kid is going to get his heart broken, I'm afraid, but...
I think so, too, but I don't know. I think he'll get his heart broken and be like, well...
He'll be okay with it,
a run.
What a run.
What a run for your boy.
Yeah.
Back at the house. Joe reads Nate's one-on-one date card, like a gentleman.
Just, the only two potential suitors for Michelle, the real top dogs in the house... Have a
might start
respect
getting weird between
for each
soon.
Other. Yeah. Right now, they have a respect for each other. It's going to get weird
it's
eventually.
It's
going to
get a little tense soon.
But right now, it's just like, yeah, we're the guys here.
Nate's excited to open up. Hopefully, the Chris S. drama is behind them.
That tells you it's not.
I think you can know what to expect there. Back on the date. Casey, who has no chance of getting a hometown, has a little one-on-one time. I expected Chris to either self-eliminate or be eliminated during this date. That's how it was building for me.
Well, Chris was acting all weird. Chris is ruining
the
vibes.
Side.
He's ruining the vibes on this date. Let's get him out of here.
I'm not sure he's ruining the vibes because he wasn't near anybody.
Yeah, he's just kind
he
of off on his
he was
own.
In a different room. Martin talked to him for a little bit.
I don't want to. I said earlier I don't trust Martin, and this is part of it because of the people he's surrounding himself with. Rim. He was hanging out with Jamie earlier while they were talking about that nonsense, and now he's the one always talking to Chris about this nonsense. I know Martin's. It's not coming out of Martin's mouth, but he's always the one talking to the person that's about to do some bullshit.
There
which
is
makes
always,
me not trust that man.
There's always one who isn't mixed up in the drama, but is.
He's egging it on.
A consigliere for the people who are.
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes it's not that bad, and sometimes it's more indicative of something else. But Chris basically doesn't... He chooses... He's going on about how he hasn't talked to her
he
yet.
He chose not to talk to her.
Just go in there. I mean, everybody else is just going in, filing in one by one. You're at the charcuterie bar and sipping cocktails in the corner. So I got the feeling this whole Chris... Every storyline that involved Chris drama, I think he knew what... I think he was doing
I think he
what
was trying to get
I think he was playing
a storyline.
Yeah, I think he, I don't think Chris was disconnected from the fact that he didn't go in there and that's why he didn't talk to her. I don't think he genuinely believed, like, why didn't Michelle come get me? Because Michelle didn't come get anybody.
No.
I think he knew what was going on.
Yes, I agree. It made it seem a little fake to me that Chris was doing this all for a singular storyline because he saw the writing on the wall in terms of how this was going to end for him. So you want to get that one storyline to hopefully get yourself to paradise.
For sure. Because
if your storyline blows up, you get there.
Chris is more likely to go to paradise than Leroy.
Exactly.
Who did not say a single thing on camera.
Perfect example.
Michelle returns, wrap it up box. Chris pretends to be surprised. It's probably, I can't believe it's over. It was probably 2 a.m. when she came back. So, I mean, no one's surprised.
We've been talking to her for hours and hours.
Michelle does a little pre-rose.
Someone got in her ear.
It's still not enough. I need three. Two isn't enough.
Well, the delivery wasn't good. So
it was her first time.
What we prefer is three people, and you give it to one of them, and it's not clear. But what she did was she said, Brandon did this, and Clayton did this, but, and she had a but in there that made me think she was going to do a third person and give it to that third person, but then she's just like, but I only got one rose, so, and then she gave it to one of the two. The delivery was all off. She should have had a third person, and she shouldn't have had that but in there.
I think her reasoning for giving it to Clayton when she did the bit was, our parents are similar or something.
Well, the producers told me that this guy's going to be the next Bachelor, and I have to give him the rose.
Exactly.
Chris says, maybe I'll talk to her tomorrow, which gave me, I wrote LMAO, LOOOOO here, and then I wrote, please let Chris show up on this date.
You thought it was coming.
I just said, please let him show. I just really wanted that to happen in this moment. Please let Chris show up on this date, because he says, maybe I'll talk to her tomorrow, which was the Nate date.
I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
Big time brain farts for me. Let's take a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Nate one-on-one date, daytime. LeBron and Jordan getting dates on the same episode. This is two headliners.
Absolutely.
Godzilla vs. King
Kong.
And
they got by far the best dates of the season. Not even close.
I think this date could have been a little bit better, this portion. Well, actually, Nate got a shitty date when you think about it. It was interrupted by...
Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
By Chris.
I take that back.
They're on Lake Minnetonka. She's on his lap while they're driving, a little smoochy. They have some chemistry.
Chemistry, yeah.
Michelle teases, like, well, Nate was a name who came out of Chris's mouth. And this is one of those moments where I'm like, Michelle, you don't care about that at all. She even said it like...
She's joking around.
You don't put any weight behind that. Michelle surprises Nate with news that this is actually a group date. Her friends show up. Allie and Tia. A lot of Tias on this show. Mm-hmm. They seemed a little too excited to be on the show. They're worried about who's not here for the right reasons. They stopped just short of asking who they should pick in their bracket type of stuff. One of them asks Nate to name names of guys who are... It seemed to me like this was teed up to get Nate to say something stupid, and he kind of did. It didn't really matter, but it was just like, get into drama. Tell us about all
the bad stuff that's happening.
But I just thought it was silly. This is not how real-life friends would talk with a relationship prospect. They peppered him with questions like from
they
the perspective
him with
of viewers of the show.
Viewer questions, not trying to know, get to know if this guy's right for my friend questions. They didn't ask any of those.
Zero. Zero. And Michelle didn't even talk to this portion. It was just trying to cook up storylines. I think Nate got into it. They kind of cut some of it out, see? But Nate was like, well, you wouldn't believe Chris.
You want me
guy.
To mix it up? I'll mix it up in the mud. Yeah.
I think Athlete Joe would have given a little more media-friendly Belichick answers.
Absolutely.
But that's not what happened. There was some time after that, after they left. They jump in the water, make out a little bit. Michelle mentioned something about moving to Minnesota. One thing I like about this season, there is no vagaries about where...
If you want to win, you need to be okay with moving to Minnesota.
Have to. Yeah. She's not moving.
No, she's not moving.
Anything else on this?
And neither is Nate. No.
Back at the house. Chris is upset. He's not Nate.
Who's he talking to?
Probably Martin.
Martin.
I didn't write it down, but probably Martin.
It was Martin.
same old stuff. He feels played. Wishes he had an opportunity to speak to her. If only he had an opportunity to get some time with her.
If only you had some sort of setting where everyone gets to talk to the lead. If only that had happened
to
you.
In a private setting. Yeah. Yes. The nighttime portion of Nate's one-on-one date. The preview promised this to be dramatic.
The preview lied.
Yeah. The preview showed us everything that
occurred. What'd they show you? Did they make it seem like Chris was going to blow up Nate's spot?
And I believe Nate was it was like home? Nate's off on his own, like with his hands on his head, stressing out. And Nate and, you know, Michelle is sees Chris, maybe.
Of course.
It wasn't much. Michelle asks if he feels if it's important to have heart-to-hearts. This is their first real conversation. This was my criticism of the Nate and Michelle relationship to this point, is they don't chat much.
I got some criticism for these questions.
Let's hear it.
She said she's going to ask the tough questions of Nate. Her first question is like, do you think communication is important? Like, do you think hard conversations?
Like
do you like communication in relationships? That's your first question. And then said, what do you need in a relationship? Those aren't the hard, those aren't the tough questions.
It might have been the questions she asked were not so much to hear his answers, but to set up her responses about her previous relationships.
Mm, okay.
So she started talking about, and she's mentioned it a couple of times, about feeling like you're the only one giving.
Yeah.
Not reciprocation on the other end. In her long relationship that lasted 3 years, she got extremely sick and couldn't keep food down.
Because of anxiety, right? Is that what I
believe so.
Because
she thought she had some sort of disease, but it turns out it was
just a fucking terrible relationship. Yeah.
So her parents were there for her, and she promised herself never to get into that type of relationship again. So not much from Nate. I think your point stands. There was not much from Nate.
That's
this
like
was
the tough
question. Michelle
of
moment.
Nate. Yeah.
Back at the house, send Chris in. There's no other way to end this storyline. Chris was not going out by not getting a rose at a ceremony.
No.
I don't care if she's on a one-on-one, I'm going to say what I got to say. Which, if you're willing to interrupt a one-on-one.
Why wouldn't you interrupt
a sanctioned one-on-one? Why wouldn't you interrupt a casual group date where you're allowed
interruptions are expected.
Yes. And part of the setup.
Yes, where you are allowed to talk to her.
Michelle and Nate are kissing a little bit, and right when they end a kiss, Michelle sees Chris walking down. So he basically has to steal her for a second on a one-on-one date.
He says it's important. Can I talk to you? It's important. I noted here, there's no way what he says is going to be important.
Chris is a plant. That's all. This was a.
That's all this was.
This was
I mean, you can tell from Michelle and Nate, nothing was going to happen here. These guys were basically laughing at him showing up. Like, oh, this shit.
Oh god. How long is this going to last?
Of course.
Can I go grab some dinner?
The producers set this bullshit up, trying to trip me up. I'm not allowing this.
I'll play along. Well, she allowed it. She could have said no. She's like, yeah, let's go to the scene. Come back. They go outside. Sit down. This was only going to end with Chris going home.
Absolutely.
I think Chris was just happy to play the role. From
Agreed.
Start to finish to the segment, he sat there. He didn't.
Well,
he was
got
just like,
time.
Yeah.
He got something. He was looking down the barrel of a wasted bachelorette season where he got no time and no story. So they gave him an opportunity for a story, and he ran with it.
When it ended and he went down the escalator, he was like,
Yeah. He almost gave like a little thumbs up to the camera. All right. Couldn't help but kind of smirk. Like, all right, that's good. That's a lot of footage. That's a lot of footage. Anyway, Michelle, he said something I came to warn you about. Again, Nate's offense is almost not even worth discussing.
No.
Michelle brings up, hey, you know, your little speech at the cocktail party. I didn't like that. I feel like you spoke for me. And you didn't have a group date, good attitude on the group date, either portion.
No, you were trying to kill the vibe of the group date.
You're trying to kill the vibe. you weren't successful because no one really, this is
nobody cares high stakes about any enough. Of this.
No one is threatened by you when it comes to me. We know you're not, you know, a contender. He's just sitting there. He's just looking at her like, yeah, I know. I knew this was coming. This is exactly what I came here to do. Be on the receiving end of this speech from you. This is all going. Everyone this here is benefiting.
Exactly
this is
going exactly as planned.
Just like we all planned. It is what it is. So, and then she says, hey, you know, we're not on the same page.
Walks I never liked you.
Yeah.
So let's leave.
You know what it is. He's like, yeah, I understand. No big deal.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
On either
really.
Side. They're both doing what they need to do.
If you ask Michelle right now, what do you think of Chris? She'd be like, you know, I mean, total fine with him. Respect. You
respect.
Know, he did what he had to do.
Respect.
He did his thing. He's
trying to get to paradise.
Somebody has got to play these roles on the show. They can play all the dramatic music they want. I think Chris knew what this was.
Absolutely.
He struck me as someone who knew that interrupting a one-on-one date would not result in continued presence on the show. I think he knew
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You think he walked there thinking he's going to get a rose. To get kicked off and get the rose and sit down and have some time with, he's going to steal the one-on-one or something. I don't know. No. There's just no way.
There have been moments on the show where I've questioned whether the person doing that is aware. I think he was aware. Michelle and Nate, neither of them really care about what just happened. They didn't give a
they
vibe,
don't
it did
care
not disrupt
all.
Their date at all. Now,
back to what we were talking about, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care at all. That just helped me out. I got one less rose tomorrow, one less person. No
Makes
big
it
deal.
Easy. Sorry about Corey. She offers him the rose. Chemistry is undeniable, quote, unlike anything I've ever felt before. Did this date change anything?
I'm starting to feel like this is my person.
Yeah.
I'm starting to fall for Nate. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I mean when I say I'm not 100% sure it's Joe.
Okay. I think we're in line for a great...
That's what I'm
contrasting
saying.
Final two, where, you know, I can go with the guy who's like my dad. I know I'm going to have a great life with, or I can go for fucking cool, fun Nate.
Tall
as
charismatic,
hell. Tall
funny.
As hell. Awesome earring. You think Joe's going to wear an awesome earring? No.
No.
He's going to be wearing what I'm wearing most days.
Yeah. Boring.
Boring dad. Joe.
Blend in.
Blend in. You're not going to have a shirt.
Swishy pants.
You're not going to have a shirt like the one Nate's going to be wearing most days around with Joe.
None of Joe's cuffs have a different design from the rest of the shirt.
Absolutely not. No.
I think you're 1,000% right, and that's exactly what I have here. I don't know who it's going to be. I'm leaning towards Joe, but it is setting up for a Team Joe, Team Nate, contrasting final two, the likes of which we have not seen in a really long time on this show. Joe is home, comfort, high school crush, you know, the guy you always dreamed of marrying.
Safe.
Absolutely safe. And I think that could come to back to, she might push away a little bit later on.
Agreed.
Nate is how you described. They're different.
They are different.
And she likes them both. It's going to be a tough choice. I'm almost certain it's going to be the final two, and we're all going to go into the finale not knowing who's going to win, and there's going to be Team Nate and Team Joe.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's an ideal scenario for this season.
We haven't had a final where we don't for sure know who's the winner in a long time, I feel like.
And have it be, there's going to be equal support almost on each side.
Yeah.
Who do you like more for Michelle? An argument can be made for both.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Wow. That's why this is a great season. It's been great so far, and I think it's going to end good.
It's like two fucking rocket ships about to run into each other. They're about to fucking hit each other.
Why would rocket ships run into each other?
Going to the fucking sky at the same angle, trying to reach the same point. And they're going at the same damn speed, and it's fast, Rim. Rocket ships go fast, okay?
I don't want anybody to die in a rocket car.
I don't. These are two lightning bolts after soaring across the sky.
They make out on the rooftop, Nate and Michelle. The fireworks are way too close. Way, way, way too close to them. They're making out. In, they're not swapping spit. They're swapping smoke.
Soot.
Soot, yeah. They're surrounded by rat, you know, fireworks wrappers that got blown off. And like you said, she's starting to fall for Nate. It is shaping up to be a clash of the titans.
Rocket ship.
Anything else on that date? Any other analogies?
It went great.
Cocktail party. Joe Clayton and Nate have roses. One of these things is not like the other. I think it's safe to say that Clayton's rose does not mean as much as the other two roses.
Of course not.
So Chris is gone. There's really no villain at this point. I'm wondering who's going to take up that mantle.
I don't think there'll be another one. We're already late. It's like there's not that many people left, I realized, after this episode.
After this, certainly.
There's 10 people going into the night. And how many people left? Two? So we have 8 people? Yeah, we're past the villain stuff. Now it's time to
There's got to be some...
I think there'll be some more?
There's got to be some friction.
I think, if anything, it'll be the losers on the season, the other 6 guys, mad at Joe and Nate for how much attention they're getting.
I think there's going to be a general... a union might form Joe because of the Minnesota thing. That might start to ruffle some feathers.
Yeah.
Rick and Michelle kind of they stroll outside. I love this. I love to stroll outside. It's been too long. Some cocktail parties should be no sitting on couches.
I did like this. I like this. What's going on with Rick? Is he a player here?
Yes. I keep Rick is basically in the same spot I had him last week. Nothing changed.
Okay.
I think Rick's a lock for hometowns.
Oh, really?
There's only 8 people left.
Yeah, probably.
And he's been on a successful one-on-one. And one of the other people left is Martin. So he's got a 4-7 chance.
Yeah. Hey, when you put it like that, you're probably right.
They danced a little bit. He said he would move to Minnesota, get that out of the way early.
Rick would end it all. He would never leave Minnesota again if you asked him to. Can you just stay here and wait for us? I'll let you know after the season if I want to come back and be with you. You stay here. He'd do it.
Brandon one-on-one time. Birthday cake. Wow. Brandon's always getting food surprises.
That's what you do with your little brother. You get him a birthday cake.
It's not.
Never
a full
forget
cake.
Your little brother
is one thing. A little cute little cupcake.
Full cake.
A full cake is like, here, you and your friends can have this. It's kind of not what you want.
That's kiddie stuff.
It's not, I don't think, great. Rodney still feels like the underdog.
I like how we turn everything we think into, we tie stuff that happens into, like, she would give a birthday cake probably to anybody, but because it was Brandon, I think it's a kid's cake.
She's not giving a full cake to Nate or Joey B. It's a full cake is not good. Okay. It's just not. It's getting some for you and your pals. Hey, I need a big ass cake, you know.
Brandon's having the buds over, my little brother.
Yeah, it's not great. I don't think a full cake is ideal. Rodney's doing the underdog bit again.
He's Rudy. Black Rudy. He's Rudy. That's Rodney. He's leaning into Black Rudy.
That's absolutely accurate.
He said something about never being the tallest, being the skinniest, or most athletic.
My dad said
something
I
like
couldn't
that.
Do it. I'll show everybody. I want him, coach.
Black Rudy.
Rodney is going to go against Clayton in an Oklahoma drill on a group date and get tossed aside. Boy, he doesn't give up. Anyway, they go on a rooftop.
This is cute.
They kiss.
Yeah.
Martin one-on-one time.
One other thing. They were too close to the ledge rim, and the ledge was too
short.
Give me the heebie-jeebies just watching on my TV.
No, thank you. I don't like that.
No, thanks. One wrong move, you're toppling over head over heels. Okay?
That's the Billy's got like a secondary
level of
ledge.
Hopefully, hope to God that had a second ledge or else I wouldn't be up against that. It was like a little lower than waist length. Chest length for Rodney.
Come on. Martin, one-on-one time. The fact of the matter is
not great.
Not great.
Not great. Ever since his one-on-one, it's been all downhill.
Martin has had zero successful interactions.
Oh, the one-on-one was bad, too. I forgot about that.
The one-on-one was a disaster. And we said at the time, he only got a rose because it was kind of a sob story at night, and she couldn't be like, well, yeah, go home. So, and this was the same thing. He put his foot in his mouth, and not only that, it kept... He kept putting it in, then the shin, then the knee, then the thigh. And she was just like, do I got to keep this guy? She looked at the producers like, do I have to give him a rose again? We have to do this again? Anyway, so it didn't go well. Olu doesn't trust him. He's two-faced.
I don't either, Olu.
Anyway, rose ceremony. Joe Clayton and Nate have roses. Michelle says it was her favorite week. Happened to be the week she went on dates with Joe and Nate.
Mm. Who could have seen that?
Might have had something to do with her hometown. I think it was more the dates and who went on them. Roses. Ricky Rose, number one. Olu. Brandon. Martin?
Well, this was your classic, the rose order doesn't matter situation here, Rim.
Well, I just would have figured Martin would have been the last rose. It would have been, will Martin stay or will he go?
Yeah.
So it was like a mid-ceremony rose that surprised me. And Rodney gets the last rose.
Well, you have guys here still that Rimshi does not care about at all, in the slightest. And we don't know anything about.
Only one, Leroy.
What about...
Casey gets a lot of talking time.
Casey, I suppose.
I think she probably likes Casey more than Martin.
I haven't seen a meaningful... conversation. Martin got a one-on-one at least, and he's got those
maybe
kisses.
Like
he
Casey,
gets kisses.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything from Casey. Yeah, Casey's
that's
got a cool
enough
look. John Krasinski look.
Leroy's got a cool look too. But again, Leroy, no one has ever made it further without saying a word.
The only thing I remember is when he got those pajamas and he said they look like Bruno Mars, but it was,
that's
I think
right,
it was to the camera. Like, he didn't even say it out loud.
He's
in front
to his
of everybody.
Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Martin, I think we'll probably have to take up the villain mantle for a week or two, and I'm not really looking forward to it because I legitimately can't hear what he's saying. I don't understand what the words are. Anything else on roast ceremony or any of that?
I don't think so. Nope.
All right.
We're getting down to it.
Another great episode.
8 people left?
And a great season.
How long are we going to be in Minnesota? Are we here next week, too? I didn't watch the coming up next week.
Eventually, they go to somewhere with a beach.
Hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we're in Minnesota until hometowns.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Which is in 1 or 2 weeks? Is next week, are they going to get rid of 4, or is there going to be 2 and 2?
I don't know, maybe. I think we're doing 2 weeks.
Okay.
I think we're only halfway through the season.
Okay.
You want to do power rankings?
Yes, I would.
Let's hear yours. It doesn't sound like yours are going to take very long.
No. Number one, Joe. Number two, Nate. Nobody else. Blank spot, blank spot. Wild card is now blank, too. I don't think there is a wild card. Please don't put anybody in my wild card spot.
So the only change from last week is you knocked Olu out of the fourth spot, which I think is fair. I don't think Olu is getting a hometown.
Yeah. And I knocked the wild card out.
Yeah. There's no requirements for filling out the wild card spot. You can do that at your leisure. There's really apparently no requirements for you to fill out even 4 people, which you simply refuse to do. I'll put Joe at number 1, Nate at number 2, Rick and Brandon, same as last week. Identical. I think those are the final 4.
I think that's a good final 4.
Thank you.
I think that's a good guess on who the final 4 is. I think Rodney could slip in there. Instead of maybe Rick. I think Brandon.
Or Clayton. Because Clayton, I don't want to spoil anything, but Clayton, there's some one-on-one time in the preview. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Clayton could slip in there.
Yeah.
Rick is not solid for hometowns.
Well, he might have peaked too early for Rick.
Yeah.
Clayton could swoop in.
Yeah. His peak wasn't that impressive of a peak, just to be honest.
A little slight hill.
Just a slight hill. He's nowhere.
I think you're right.
Nowhere ever near the top.
It doesn't matter. It will be fun to watch, but it's going to come down to the Clash of the Titans at the end of the... I already know the episode name going into the finale. It's Clash of the Titans. They should make boxing posters for this and slap them on foam poles around cities. Joe versus Nate. Who are you
picking?
Who
you got?
Yeah. All right, the mailbag, 773-234-7794. Last week's question was, what do you think of Michelle as a lead? Dee Dee from Arizona says, I think Michelle is doing great. She's quite poised and mature, yet we get to see some of her insecurities. Surely she is having to play the producer's game at least a little bit, hence Chris S. getting the rose last week. Surely he goes down in flames soon. You were right, Dee Dee. Also, I'm starting to wonder if we see absolutely anything at all from Clayton and continue to be baffled as to why he was chosen as the next Bachelor. And so early. Thank you, Dee Dee.
Could be. Could get nothing.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's no big Clayton.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that surprised.
Allie from Connecticut.
I'd be moderately surprised. I don't know why if he didn't have anything, why they'd pick him.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they just pick the loser of the season?
Well, because if they picked Joe or Nate, that would have ruined the finale by now. Maybe they picked somebody who got fifth or sixth so it's not to spoil
the
season.
Well, they don't need to announce it so early either.
They kind of do because they didn't announce it. It came out, and then they kind of have acknowledged it. But these people are on dates and traveling. They're in public. You know what I mean?
Oh, the new people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those type of spoilers are usually out there. But not,
it's never this early. It's never this early.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they probably had to pick someone else.
Allie from Connecticut. As a fellow fourth grade teacher, I'm loving Michelle as the Bachelorette. I've always thought that managing drama on this show is similar to managing drama with students after recess. Very specific. Not just students, but after recess. Michelle's firm but warm classroom management style gets her an A+ in my book. Also, you can tell she's a teacher because when she and Rick wrote their wish on the last episode, she basically put it in the style of a learning target. I can fall in love by having hard conversations. Skill plus strategy equals learning target. Anyway, I hope Michelle is able to continue applying Vygotsky's theory of scaffolding to increase the rigor and support these men in accelerating relationships, becoming more vulnerable and trusting the process, but then allow a gradual release of responsibility so they can increase independence and show self-direction and initiative while still working in the zone of approximate development.
Wow.
Thank you, Allie. Amy in Maryland. Michelle's doing fine as a lead, but that's it. Just fine. A positive note is that she does a great job at nipping the drama in the bud, and in those moments, Miss Young takes over. She's not going to encourage it like Katie did. However, there's something missing, and to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. During Matt's season, she seemed to have such a fun personality. Now that she's the lead, she seems borderline unhappy to be there. In her ITMs, I believe that's in the moment, she mostly looks tired and robotic. What happened to the vibrant Michelle we met previously? Is this just editing? Or is it really that miserable being the lead? The same thing happened with Matt, where all of his personality was erased. If they're going to have a similarly flat edit for the already bland Clayton, damn, I'm not sure I can keep watching. There has been a noticeable decline in quality ever since producer Elon Gale left. Churning out more seasons per year isn't going to fix it. Is this show circling the drain? Amy got progressively
doom and
gloom. Blazing hot with this take as it went on. I will say this, AB. I agree that Michelle seems flatter than she did on Matt's season. Though I guess there's a difference. I think we saw lead Michelle before the credits on Matt's season, and then post credits during the credits, I think real actual Michelle came out, and we've only seen glimpses of that. To this point, I wish that were a greater percentage of what we were shown.
That's fair.
I think she's much wittier than we are seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy. Christopher from Virginia. Michelle is already a top three bachelorette for me and Dale, dare I say, a potential GOAT candidate. She wastes no time with fools and is open with her fears and concerns. I'll miss what could have been with the pizza feuds, but a mature, confident bachelorette is much better to watch. Thank you, Christopher.
We can all agree we would have liked a couple more weeks of the pizza feuds.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can have both.
We can have them both there.
You can have your pizza and eat it, too, on The Bachelorette. All right? Thank you, Christopher.
We could have used a little more of Peter and Will. Just a couple more weeks. Yeah. And a two-on-one. Can you imagine a two-on-one with the pizza boys?
It would take place at a parlor, and Peter Pizza would have been like, well, this is how this goes, and Will would have been like, I'm tired of the pizza.
They would have had a dough flipping competition.
Absolutely.
It would have been unbelievable.
Absolutely.
The Pizza Showdown. 646 area code. I loved Michelle on Matt's season, so I've been primed to love her on this season, and it hasn't disappointed. I think she's a great lead who knows how to have real conversations with the guys as opposed to most other seasons where they just sit around talking about how much they like each other. The teacher in her, aka Ms. Young, knows how to make these men feel comfortable with her. On a different note, I've noticed that every episode, Michelle's brought something up about race and how it's affected her life as a black woman as well as the men of color on the show. She tends to do it in high-stakes scenarios, like the poem, where she knows they'll have to air it. My theory is that she's doing this not only because it's important to her, but also because she wants there to be enough conversation about it so ABC can't edit it out. I have a feeling race was discussed way more often on Matt's season than we saw, but was obviously edited out because of all the controversy at the time. I think this is Michelle's way of holding the Bachelor franchise's feet to the fire by forcing their predominantly white audience to listen to these conversations that we normally wouldn't see. That's an interesting take.
That is interesting.
Thank you, 646. Unrelated one from Laura. I went to Colton and Elise's one-on-one date where Tennille Arts performed their concert after he gave her the rose. This is in reference to how many, you asked how many songs they play, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she went to the concert.
She went to the date.
Said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She was at Colton and Elise's one-on-one date.
Mm-hmm.
A good date, if I recall, at a...
I don't remember this at all. Who was the girl he was on a date with?
Elise. She had red hair and...
Oh, okay. I remember her.
They went to a carnival. Amusement park. Yeah.
Or amusement park. With some kids?
There were some kids there, too.
Wow. We got good memories.
Wow. Nobody does it
nobody
better.
Does it better.
The audience went in early, and the band played two songs multiple times while the camera crew got basic shots. Then Colton and Elise came in and danced while the band played both songs, and we all cheered and sang along. Even though Tennille Arts has been on the show multiple times, I was not familiar with her or her music. However, I'm pretty sure I was brainwashed because by the end of the night, I knew all the words to those two songs and became obsessed with them. I listen to them constantly on Spotify afterwards. I honestly think the songs are great. They're still favorites on my list. Thank you, Laura.
All right, what sounds fun. I'd like to know more about people
listening
that have
to
gone
two
to
two songs over and over again.
Well,
for
it depends
2 hours
on the situation. Are there drinks there? Is there food there? What's the situation?
They're not giving
what's
drinks.
What's the situation?
To them.
Is it an open bar? What's going on?
What are you talking about? This isn't a wedding. It's
what's
shooting
going
a 4 minute
there?
Segment on a TV show.
Sounds like they're there for a while. I want to hear more. Were there drinks there? Was there food there? Please tell me more next week.
Is that your mailbag question?
No. That's good. No, but I want that particular. Who did you say that was?
That was from Laura.
Laura, I'd like you to please explain more about the night.
Yeah, the food, the spread.
What was the spread? What was the... Generally, how long were you there? I'd like to know that. And yeah, just tidbits about the night. How did it go?
What's the question for next week, AB? 773-234-7794.
I'll let you pick. It's either going to be... are you Team Joe or Team Nate? Or,
too early. Too
yeah,
early.
I think it's
for
too
that.
Early for that. Who outside of Nate and Joe do you like the most and you think isn't getting enough screen time? Maybe a potential Bachelor in Paradise favorite that you think could shine there.
Is that a question for who do the viewers personally like or who do they think could be a dark horse for Michelle?
Nobody's a dark horse for Michelle. It's not that.
Gotcha.
I'm asking who they like and who they, in particular, who do you want to see more in Paradise and more of? Nobody's a dark horse. There is none.
That's fair.
Like, what are you going to say? Rick's going to win. Like,
we'll laugh you off the stage.
Let's be legitimate.
Let's do your Bachelor headline of the week, AB.
I got two of them. On opposite sides of the spectrum, from Yahoo, Hannah Brown reveals she hooked up with Peter Weber while his Bachelor season was airing.
Come on!
I mean, get Hannah and Peter the fuck out of here. They didn't take the season seriously, either of their seasons. They didn't take those seriously. They neither of them wanted to get married.
That's fucking
and they
juicy,
still don't.
Though.
Quite possibly the worst two seasons in terms of people being in it for the right reasons, with the leads.
Yeah, maybe. I love Peter's season, though. You'll never move
me off
of that.
Of course I loved Peter's season. I'm just saying Peter, there wasn't a world where he was getting engaged at the end of that.
No. Yeah, it's the funniest season of all time. I'm not sure that season will ever be topped in terms of unintentional comedy.
The comedy. He was such a bad lead. It was just so funny.
It was so
every single
so
thing
funny.
He could do wrong, he did.
Peter, let's say the Nate, Michelle, Chris date happened on Peter's season. Peter would have given Chris the rose, the outside yeah, party. He would have brought him back to the table, and been like, well, listen, I thought about it. She makes some good points. I'm going to have to go with her. You're going to have to wait. The person on this one-on-one date is going to have to wait till the rose ceremony to find out if you make it.
My other one is from page 6. Bachelor alum Ben Higgins marries Jessica Clark. Just a happy note for us.
Oh, congratulations.
Ben Higgins fans.
Like Ben Higgins. Yep. Haven't thought about him in a very long time.
No.
Good memories.
Yeah, very good memories. Good memories. Yeah.
Rose League scoring update. Good headlines, AB.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know when you get to the point where you can't be Googling that anymore. You have to cancel. You have to suspend
there'll
headline
be a time.
Of the week.
Segment. Yeah, there'll yeah. be time.
The Rose League scoring update. We have a situation with the Rose League.
I had a bad week.
Did you hear me, AB? We got a situation.
What's the situation?
There's a dwindling number of contestants on this show.
Yeah.
Which means there are fewer available roster combinations.
Yes.
So there are going to be more ties, more and more ties every week, probably.
Yeah.
So this week, 84 people tied for first place.
What was the, let me look at the winning number, Joe, Nate, Brandon, Clayton, and Olu.
84 That's people had that.
Wow.
I assume.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the solution is for that.
There's no solution.
It's kind of stinks. It is what it is. We're just going to have to do... for the rest of the season, if you win... If you get the highest score, you have like a 1% chance
yeah.
of winning a sticker. That yeah. just kind of isn't very fun. So we're still going to do end of season winner, but yeah. It's not great. So I'll try to think of something for next season if they can make it so that's not so... frequently occurring. The winner for this season through random draw is Team Bonnie Blue. That's me clapping. Congratulations, Bonnie Blue. Congratulations, everyone else who got 202 points this episode. I did not.
Me neither.
I got 145.
I got 153. Good for 550th place.
That's about where I stay. I'm 589th overall.
I'm 232. I'm falling. I'm out of contention. Yeah. It's over.
The bit's over.
Yeah.
Well, so many people are cheating.
Yeah, I mean, if you wipe out the hundreds of people.
Yeah. We have a bad group of people listening to the show. The current overall leader is Team Hilla at 753.
One of our bits this year is just questioning the integrity of our entire fan base.
Well, listen, the facts are facts. I don't know how anyone could beat you. Follow Team Hilla is leading 753, followed by
Hallie
Plague.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is, Rim. I don't watch the previews. I feel like the previews
give
would give away, like, you know who's getting the one-on-one, so you're going to pick both of them.
Yeah. The two so you have integrity is what you're saying.
Yes.
Mr. Integrity. Mm-hmm. Followed by Hallie Prague, Scallop Fingers, Nisi Ray, Eric P. Baum, Paula, Lindsay H.
Why are you saying it with higher inflection?
Well, some of them are... You know, they're all one word, and they're multiple words mashed together, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing them correctly.
Oh, okay.
I pronounced ouch correctly, I'm sure of that. Stagecoach alum, Andy Vaughn. Those are the top 10 right now overall. If you're still owed a sticker from a previous week and haven't heard from me, re-up your message. We'll get it out to you.
What do you got on the merch? What's going on? What's the news?
What a segue,
what's the news?
Wow. Next week, we are releasing several new merch designs in our T Public store. Our first big refresh in some time.
Wow, for the holidays.
For the holidays. Between 6 and 8 new designs.
Six
Unfortunately,
and eight.
Some of them have more of a summer vibe, but, you know.
The Christmas gifts can be summer attire.
We only got one designer in-house, unfortunately. So between 6 and 8 new designs depends on how... If I can finish a few that are kind of giving me trouble. They're not as good as last year's. I'll be honest with you. You know, there's no sweatshirt of the year design.
These are just good designs.
These are okay. These are fine. These are fine.
You really got to work on fine. How to sell
but
stuff
they're
for
new.
Them.
But they're new. So the main point is they're new. No one has these yet. Right?
Mm.
So that's something.
Okay.
If you're interested in merch, get ready. for the...
No, you know, I'll be the judge on if they're good or not. Let me get a look at them. I bet they're good, folks.
November to Remember sales event next week. The new designs will be out on the 25th at the latest, maybe a few days prior. Everything in the store will be on sale from the 23rd through the 30th.
Let me ask you something, Rim. Isn't there a way they can get a percent off by signing up for something?
No. Oh, yeah, but that's not, that percentage means nothing. That percentage off is, that's worse than the sale, which they have.
There's a sale.
There's sales most days of the year, and the percentage they get off by doing that is much lower than the percentage off you get from the sale.
Oh, well, so I was trying to sell them on our Patreon.
Yeah, no, it's not.
That won't help, but
it will not.
If you're interested in more content,
I suppose
you can sign up for our Patreon.
November to Remember sales event, 23rd through the 30th. Best to order your gifts early this year. Supply chain,
that's
what have
what
you.
I've been hearing.
World politics are just something else, and things of that nature, governance and logistics. We'll keep you updated on all that. Any other questions, AP?
I don't think so. Nope.
All right.
I'm excited to see them.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.